the Belmont Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. I want you to hear him gladly. Appreciate this young man. Appreciate his heart for camp meeting. He grew up around here. I appreciate his mom and daddy bringing him to camp meeting. It's in him, and I'm grateful. Brother Nathaniel, you preach to us what God's laid on your heart. I love you, brother. They got the light for you.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. It's an honor to be in the tabernacle this morning. Don't you appreciate that good preaching that we heard? Imagine trying to follow all that. Amen. I don't know about you. That makes me want to go buy some sheep. Amen. If I can get up preaching like that, I don't know how my wife would feel about that, but I think about starting that up. Amen. It sure is good to be at camp meeting this morning, and I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate the preaching from Brother Stacy and Brother Kleinert. These men are a blessing to my life. I appreciate this place. As Brother Steve said, I'm thankful that I had a mom and dad that brought me to meetings like this, and I'm thankful. This stuff ain't a stranger to me, and I bless the name of the Lord for that. And I appreciate Brother Steve and his family. Appreciate Brother Jamie over here. He's a blessing to my life. Above all else, I'm thankful to be saved this morning. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles for a few moments with me this morning to the 121st Psalm. Psalm 121 this morning. I didn't bring any new truth with me. I didn't come to say anything you haven't heard. Maybe we just need to hear it again this morning. Amen. Looking forward to hearing Brother Dana. Again, thank you, Preacher Steve, for the opportunity. It's an honor and a privilege. I'm the least worthy person in this building this morning, but I am grateful for the grace of God, mercy of God. Thankfully, saved my soul. Psalm 121. Let's read the whole chapter together. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It's a song of degrees. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I want to draw my title this morning from the second phrase in verse number one, where the psalmist said, from whence or from where cometh my help? I want to preach for just a few moments on this thought this morning on where does your help come from? Where does your help come from? I don't know about you, but this morning I have a hard time conquering my animosity for a bully this morning. I don't know if anybody can sympathize with me on that. I can't stand a bully. And I think the reason why is because I had to deal with some of them growing up. And looking back now, I recognize I was pretty fair game. I was carrot top. I was freckles. I was flame. I was gopher. I had buck teeth so bad I could eat corn on the cob through a picket fence. Amen. I was 4'2" till I was in the 10th grade. So plus I was a preacher's kid. Amen. So I was pretty fair game for a bully. And if you are like me and you know what that feels like, you know that gut-punching feeling when that bully is heading your direction to do whatever it is he desires to do. I remember when I was in high school, I was in the 9th grade. I had to deal with a bully every day of my life. And I remember there was a specific day where I couldn't handle it anymore. I remember going home that day and I remember crying to my father about it. I remember telling my dad about how this guy was treating me. And if you have a dad like mine, you can understand my daddy was ready to go find that kid that day. Amen. But I remember pouring my heart out to my father. And I remember the next day that I went to basketball practice and I remember being nervous and I remember being worried about what that kid was going to do to me. But I cannot tell you the peace and the comfort that I found in my soul when I turned around in the bleachers that day, and there was my father sitting in the bleachers. And fortunately for me, my dad's a whole lot bigger than me. And I remember my dad, that whole practice was staring a hole through that kid. And it's safe to say I never had a problem with that kid ever again. But it soon turned out that I understood my dad is a busy pastor and he is a busy man, and there would be bullies that I would, that there would be new bullies that I would have to face and that I would have to handle on my own and face under my own doings, and they would be more than I could handle. Now this morning I am 28 years old and the same problem still presents itself. And that is that this morning I still know what it feels like to have adversaries that are larger than I am. That I have storms and troubles that make it harder where I cannot handle it on my own. And I can echo with the psalmist in verse number 1, where is my help going to come from? But I sure am glad this morning that for the child of God, we are not on this journey alone. I'm glad I don't have to face my adversaries by myself, but I'm glad this morning that I have some help on my side, and it's none other than the Lord this morning. And that is the message of Psalm 121. We come to this psalm, and if you'll notice the heading, it is a song of degrees. And what that simply means is there is a collection of 15 of these in your psalms. And what these were, you could also call this a psalm of ascent. And what these psalms were, they were songs that were sung by the pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem for the God-appointed feast days. And that psalm perfectly fits that context because you read through this, and it's the language of someone who is traveling and someone who is on a journey. And I believe that's a big reason why Psalm 121 is so dear to the people of God, because we too are on a journey. Amen. We too are headed somewhere. I'm glad this morning there's a destination on the horizon, but can we all agree this journey is not easy? This journey is not going without its trouble or its adversities. There's going to be days that the mountains will be high and the valleys will be low and the road will be long and the burdens will be wearisome, and we're going to need something outside of our own power. We're going to need something outside of our own ability this morning. And there's going to be times in all of our life where we're going to be like the psalmist and we're going to look around and say, where is our help going to come from? Maybe on this Thursday morning that is you. Maybe you walked into camp meeting this morning and you got your church smile on and you got your church facade on, but if you want to be honest this morning, you're in a place where you don't know where your help is going to come from. Maybe you've had a bad month, maybe you've had a bad year, maybe you walked in here this morning and you feel like if you have one more good blow from the devil, that'll be the one that does you in. Can I just say hallelujah this morning? I'm glad you're not by yourself, and I'm glad you're not on the journey alone. I'm glad you ain't got to fight the battle by yourself, but praise God, there is help this morning in the Lord. I want to notice two things this morning, and I'll take my seat. Number one, this morning, I want to notice that there is a truth that we must accept. There is a truth that we must accept. Look in verse 1. Psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, the statement is clear, but the context is not. He's looking to the hills. We really don't know why. We don't know if he's looking to the hills out of a sense of concern, or he sees those hills and he's remembering how hard that this journey is going to be. Maybe he is looking to the hills and it's a sense of confidence, knowing that his journey's almost over and he's about where he's trying to get. We don't know whether it's concern. We don't know whether it's confidence. But nonetheless, we still see this statement in verse number 1 that he is looking to the hills, from whence comes my help. He's looking to the hills for help, but he recognizes that there is no help in the hills. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here is the truth that we must accept, and that is that we do need help.
Verse 1 is a verse of humility. He is acknowledging his own limitations. He is acknowledging his own helplessness. He is acknowledging his own inadequacies and his own inabilities. And let me say this morning, the sooner you get to that place, the better off you're going to be. The journey is long and the road is hard. And you need to understand this morning that you need help. I was thinking about this. I've never been on a pilgrimage, but I believe it's safe to say nobody's going on one by themselves. Amen. I believe it's safe to say he's traveling with friends. I believe it's safe to say he's traveling with his family. I believe it's safe to say that he's traveling with those that are closest to him. But you'll notice that still does not give him the help that he needs. Let me say this morning, you can thank God for all the connections that you have in your life. I'm glad I got a good mom and a daddy this morning. I'm glad I got friends. I'm glad I got a good wife. I'm glad I got a good church. But can we all testify this morning that there are days in our life that it don't matter how many connections you have. It don't matter how many numbers you got in your phone. It don't matter how many people in your life that can make you feel better about your situation. You're going to need help beyond you and those around you, and you can only find it in the Lord this morning. There's a truth that we must accept. But I want to notice a second thought this morning, and that is this. There is a testimony that we need to adopt. Because in verse 1, he's looking around for help. He says, where is my help going to come from? But I'm glad it only takes him another verse to find it. Amen. For verse number 2, notice what it says. It says, my help comes from the Lord. I like what Brother Steve said the other night. I hope he helps you this morning. Or I hope he's helped you this week. I'm glad he's our help, but I'm glad I can say he's my help this morning. It's a personal testimony of somebody who has learned of the goodness of God in his life. Now, I was thinking this week, and I thought about it. There is a statement that I've heard in church, and how many of you know just because you hear it in church don't mean it's real? Amen. Just because a preacher says it don't mean it's gospel. And I've heard preachers say this, and you have too, and the problem is we treat it as if it's gospel, but the problem is it ain't. I've heard preachers say this, God only helps those who help themselves. I've heard it my whole life. If you want to get help, you got to help yourself. The only problem with that is that ain't nowhere in the Word of God. Actually, it's Benjamin Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac. Matter of fact, this morning, the Bible says the exact opposite. He only helps those who cannot help themselves. Isaiah 40, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Let me say this morning that an attitude of self-sufficiency disqualifies you from divine help. An attitude of self-sufficiency is going to make it where you're not going to get the help you need. Maybe that's why you're here this morning and you still ain't got the help you need, because you're leaning on your own understanding. You're leaning in your own talents. You're trusting your last name. You're trusting this and that and the other. But the truth is this morning, if you want to tap into the help that only God can get, you got to recognize that you're helpless, that nobody can help you unless he helps you, that nobody can work in that situation unless he does, that nobody can save that soul unless he does. Only God can give me the help I need. I sure can't do it. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Is that not what happened when you got saved? Last time I checked, God don't save people that don't think they need saving. God don't save people trusting in mama. He don't save people trusting in daddy. He don't save people trusting in baptism. He don't trust people trusting in their financial well-being. Who does he save? Those that know they're lost. Those that need, those that know they're helpless. Those that know that unless God saves them, they're not going to get home. That is who he saves this morning. A testimony to adopt. And this morning, if you want to get help, you got to get to that place. But I want to just give you these till my light turns red. I got about 100, so I'll just stop until it gets there. Amen. He not only in this testimony, he begins to define this help. I'm glad I just don't got any help. I got the best help there is in the world this morning. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, First of all, he says he, in his testimony, he's found help that is sufficient. Look in verse 1, he's asking, where does his help come from? Verse 2, I love this. He does not answer with a list. He answers with a name. He ain't giving a list out, he's giving a name out. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I am glad the source of my help is somebody who don't need a source of help. The one helping me don't need any help this morning. You see, the problem is we're bad about going to all the wrong places for help. We got a list we can pull out. And maybe this morning that's where you're at. But I want to say this morning, for you to get the help you need, you're going to need something better than your college degree. You're going to need something past your bank account. You're going to need something better than your last name. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter how many connections or how good your list is, there's going to be a knock on the door. And your list ain't going to help you. There's going to be a phone call and your list ain't going to bail you out. You're going to need to go to the one who is sufficient this morning. Only God qualifies this morning. It is sufficient help. Not only is it sufficient help, I'm glad in his testimony he's found out his help is sovereign help this morning. Look in verse 2. He said, my help comes from the Lord. Well, who's the Lord? Look what he describes. Which made heaven and earth. It's as if the psalmist is saying, "I'm forget the hills. I'm going to go to the one who made the hills." Amen. Forget the hills. I'm going to the one who put them there. You see, I was thinking about this week at our church on Wednesday nights. We've been preaching through the book of Genesis. And I told my church that Genesis 1:1 is most likely the most important verse in all the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But you say, preacher, what's that got to do for me? I sure am glad that the God who creates the thing is bigger than the thing that he creates. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I know that. Let me just testify this morning. I know there's going to be battles. I know there's going to be valleys. I know there's going to be hard times. But aren't you glad? It don't matter how bad your day is, it's not bigger than God is. I don't know how big your storm is, but it's not bigger than God is. The God that's given my help and you help is the one who made the heavens and the earth. It is sovereign help this morning. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful he's learned in his testimony, I got help that's sufficient. He says, I got help that's sovereign. He said, I got help that stabilizes me. Look in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. I ain't got time to preach all this, but think about it. They're not on paved roads. They're on slippery pathways. One wrong turn can mess everything up. And let me say the same thing is true in the Christian life. And if you're super spiritual, this won't bless you this morning. But for those that want to be honest, it's only the grace of God. We ain't fell off this thing. It's only him keeping us. He's the only reason we're still on the journey. I'm thankful I got a verse that says, now unto him that is able to keep me from falling this morning. You say, well, this is not a promise. This is not a promise that you'll never fall. But it is a promise, hallelujah, that he'll give you spiritual stability. Psalm 27, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he will not utterly be cast down, for the Lord holdeth him with his hand. I'm thankful this morning because I look at my life and I've done a whole lot of wobbling. I've done a whole lot of slipping, but I sure am glad this morning that I got a God that can show up and he can stabilize my life. He gives stability. Give you one more. Not only that, I'm glad I got a testimony of some help that stays awake this morning. Look in verse number 3. He said, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I don't care how sure your footing is. You got to have somebody on the night watch. Amen. And a sentry only had one job. Only one job. That's to stay awake. Don't fall asleep. It don't matter, though, how good you are, how hard you try. Can we all agree? There's got to be times you got to lay your head down. There's got to be times you lay your head to rest. Oh, but a hallelujah, I'm glad the one helping me is somebody who has eternal insomnia this morning. I'm glad my God don't sleep. And he says it a second time because I think we're all guilty of feeling like God don't care. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you feel like God ain't paying you attention? But notice what he said. He said he'll never slumber. And then I love this phrase, he that keepeth Israel. That is referring to the faithfulness of God. And what he's saying is, church, do not judge God's character on your present circumstances, but rather pull the file, check the record. He's never fell asleep on the job. He's never been caught sleeping. And I know you might have walked in here this morning and you might have found yourself last night walking the floors. You might have found yourself tossing and turning about that situation. But I sure am glad to know, hallelujah, that tonight when I lay my head on my pillow, that I can go on to sleep, because he ain't going to do no sleeping. Hallelujah. He never sleeps, nor does he slumber. And lastly, I want to give you one more. See, I'm skipping some of this, but I want to notice there's help in my testimony that gives security. Look in verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, there's what I've studied. There's two Hebrew words for evil. There is moral evil and physical evil. This is one of them ones regarding physical evil. It's the same word that David used in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, if you're like me, that kind of sounds like a contradiction, amen? Because maybe you would think, Lord, I've had some evil happen in my life. Maybe you look at your situation, preacher, I've had evil happen to me. He says he's going to keep me from all evil. Only way I can describe that this morning is this. I think the Lord defines evil differently than we do. I'm glad this morning that I can say on the confidence of God's word, and I had to tell a family this yesterday morning, had a family in our church who lost a 4-month-old grandchild yesterday. Had to sit with that family, and that's my first time I ever had to deal with that, and boy, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my pastoral ministry. And boy, there's times it's easier preaching than living, but I had to look at that church, look at that sweet grandma to my congregation and say, I don't know how, but I do know he'll bring good somehow out of this. I can say on the confidence of God's word that if it happens, he will bring good out of it. He will not let one thing happen in your life that he can't turn around for good. I want to illustrate this, and I'm going home, or I'm going to be done. I ain't going home yet, praise God. There is nothing that gives me PTSD like seeing a jar of rubbing alcohol. Somebody say amen right there. Me and my brother over here used to fight and carry on and all that kind of stuff. And I remember one specific day at our old parcel we used to live in, me and my brother used to, we was trying to act crazy one day. I remember my leg and my arm got all cut up. Went in the house bleeding. My mama pulled out that rubbing alcohol. Now, some of y'all used to have that pink bottle, amen. But we had the rubbing alcohol. And I remember, oh God, I didn't want to go through that. I didn't want to feel that. I didn't want to have to endure that sting. And I remember I went and hid under the bed. I had a mama that knew how to pull your legs out from under the bed, amen. Well, then about that time, my daddy heard me kicking and screaming. He said, what's wrong? And I remember thinking, oh, praise God, my daddy loves me. He's going to tell my mama she's being terrible. My daddy loves me. He don't want me feeling that sting. He don't want me feeling that pain. Oh, but then my dad sat on me. He held me down. But I began to think about that. My dad knew that a temporary sting was better than what was going to come on down the road. I want to say this morning to you, the help that's given you, he knows what you need. And even if it feels like evil, you have to understand that he does all things well. And it's for your sanctification. It's for your growth. It's for your spiritual maturity. And praise God, you can worship over the fact that if it was truly evil, he would keep it out of your life. I'm thankful this morning that's the help I have. I'm thankful I got help bigger than a Republican this morning or a Democrat. I'm glad I got help in the Lord this morning. Thank you, preacher.